Our theme is teaching and learning the gospel of Jesus Christ, both in the classroom and at home. All of us, leaders, teachers, missionaries, and parents, have a lifelong challenge from the Lord to both teach and learn the doctrines of the gospel as they have been revealed to us. We will begin with a brief conversation between Elder L. Tom Perry and myself on principles that build good teaching. My assignment is to convey a few personal experiences that have taught me much about teaching and learning. If you watch and listen carefully, you will notice that to be a good teacher, you must also be a willing learner. Our conversation will be followed by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, who will instruct us on preparing to teach. We will then join a classroom of students to demonstrate an example of classroom teaching. Any of the 12 could have effectively given this demonstration. Each would have varied his approach from the others. There's no one method that works for all teachers or situations. The Spirit is essential in guiding us to use our own preparation, experience, personality, knowledge, and testimony in any particular teaching situation. After Elder Holland's presentation, we'll take a short 5-minute break.
President, you wrote a book entitled Teach Ye Diligently. Every position in the church requires an effective teacher. It is our most important calling. Could we visit for a few minutes, talk about teaching diligently as a requirement in our several church callings?
I was appointed seminary supervisor, and I didn't know anything, and I was assigned then, employed, and paid more or less to go about the church to tell seminary teachers how to teach and what they did wrong. And that was very embarrassing, because I'd go into a class and see teachers do something and have to correct them when I knew I did that every time I taught. And I had learned something about it. And Brother Lee, Elder Lee, and Elder Romney were always teaching. And they would, in a sense, go out of their way to tell me something or teach me something. I think the reason they did it, I'm not sure they ever saw me in this position or calling, but I had one virtue. I wanted to learn, and I didn't resent it. And if you don't resent it, and if you want to learn, the Lord will keep teaching you. Sometimes things you really didn't think you wanted to know. But both of those great teachers would teach me. When I'd see Brother Romney, sometime he'd say, "Kid, I want to tell you something." I knew it was coming now. He was going to tell me something I was doing that I shouldn't do. And I'd always thank him. I learned early on that there's great value in listening to experienced and older people. Had a stake president once who said, "I always tried to be in the presence of great people." He was in a little town in Idaho, but he said if there was a lecture or comment, something special, I'd always try to be there because I could learn. And I've always been drawn to associate with older people. Now I is one. But I remember in the Quorum of the Twelve, LeGrand Richards didn't walk as fast as the other brethren. And I would always wait and open the door for him and walk back to the building with him. And one day one of the brethren said, "Oh, you are so kind to take care of Brother Richards." And I thought, "You don't know my selfish motive." That as we'd walk back, I would just listen to him. And I knew that he could remember Wilford Woodruff, and he would speak. One-on-one teaching is very powerful. Generally, one-on-one teaching is what happens when you're corrected. That's another principle of teaching. Arise from your bed early, but the easy part of that, or the hard part, is to retire to your bed. And then reflecting in the morning when your mind is clear. That's when the ideas come to teach. I don't know how often, not since yesterday, did I have an assignment come and I didn't have a clue in my mind what to do. It was in that meeting of the general authorities. I knew I was going to speak first, not what'll I say. And I was confident it'll come, and it came. You were there.
What is the importance of using the scriptures in your teaching?
I've always relied on the scriptures. The best example of teaching and how to teach, the best model for teaching methods, and besides the subject matter, which is the gospel, is the Lord and His teaching. That's why I don't like to go to the pulpit or stand in front of a class without my scriptures in hand. I've got them in hand today so that you won't tie me up on something.
President, you've carried those scriptures around with you. Every time I've been with you, you've had those scriptures. You told us the story one time of how they were in the water, and that only helped them because you could turn to them faster. How do you use these scriptures in teaching?
Well, I was studying outside on the lawn, was called away and left my scriptures open on the little table, forgot them, as old men will do, and the sprinklers went on. I came out in the morning and thought, oh, my scriptures that I've marked up for 50 years are gone. I found out they just loosened the pages. I think if I had to get new scriptures, I'd put them out on the range before I started using them.
People always talk to us about the scriptures and some of them, how difficult it is to get through them. How do you make them come alive in your teaching?
Stay at it. If you read the Book of Mormon, for instance, I remember when I determined I was going to read the Book of Mormon. I was in my teens. I opened it and read, I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents. And I went on through the chapters, and I was learning things. It was interesting, and I could follow it until I got over the Isaiah chapters in the Old Testament prophet language. So, a few months later, I decided to read the Book of Mormon. I'd opened, I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents. But everywhere, every time I do that, I hit the barrier of those Isaiah chapters. And I wondered why they were in there. Finally decided I was even going to read them. So when I was a teenager, I just had to look at the words. Didn't understand it, but I could turn the pages and then go on through. When you get over in Alma, you'll sail on through. So you have to be determined to read them. And not just glean from them, but read them from beginning to end. The Book of Mormon, the New Testament, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price. And for years I made it a practice to read the scriptures each summer when we had a little time off to refresh the store that's there.
What counsel would you give a recent convert prior to their first calling as a teacher?
I'd tell them they can do it. Everybody can teach. I'd counsel them to pray for the gift of teaching. You know, the Book of Mormon speaks of gifts and outlines several gifts, among them to teach the gospel by the Spirit. When I read that years ago, I thought, that's a gift I want. And to be able to teach by the Spirit, I found out from the scriptures that you have to ask for it. Ask and ye shall receive. So I would tell somebody to keep asking, and seek and ye shall find, and that the gift has to be earned, but it can come.
What should teachers do to ensure that they have the Spirit in their teaching?
You have to live worthily, and you have to ask for help. And you can ask for help if your parents, husband and wife, can talk to one another. And then you have to keep the commandments and pray constantly, unceasingly, for the ability and the inspiration to know what to do and when to do it. And the Lord won't fail you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And whatsoever you shall ask in faith, believing that you shall receive, it'll be given you. Then one of the scriptures adds a little leave. It's good for you. And gospel is very practical. You may be an older person who thinks that your ministry is finished. You're a young person who's frightened about everything, or a mother who's so busy with the children, or a father who's preoccupied. But you can teach, and you can pray, and you can be guided, and you will do. You'll be blessed of the Lord. I can promise you that. When the Lord was teaching, he always dealt with things that they knew about. For instance, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. It isn't really a net, it's just a net. But it's like unto it. And then he explained why. And kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking after goodly pearls. When he gave the parables, the parable of the sower, that's something they could relate to. And it's not only possible, but quite probable that after he gave the parable of the sower and talked about seeds being thrown on hard ground and on the productive ground, that a month later, one of those who was hearing out doing some planting, seeing the seeds in his hand, would relive that lesson. And if you use parables and stories and illustrations, it lives after they're out of class. And that's his method was remarkably simple. He was at times fairly stern, and but always it was on their level. It is a sacred calling, a holy calling. The thing I think I would tell them is that they never teach alone. They never have to be alone. The Lord has promised that in the scriptures. We talk about the scriptures. In Alma, for the Lord granteth unto all nations and every tongue teachers. And that statement, teach ye diligently and my grace will attend you. I don't know how to teach the gospel without a constancy of prayer. You can speak a prayer, but you can also think a prayer. A lot of times when I've been teaching a group or a class, not you, of course, that I've just been praying inwardly, how can I get through? And I don't know how to do it other than having that power available.
Teaching is central in all of the activities of the church. Who has the responsibility to prepare themselves to teach?
Everybody's a teacher. The leader's a teacher. The follower's a teacher. The counselors are a teacher. The parents are teachers. So that we have a responsibility on our own to teach, to learn the principles of teaching. The Lord set up his church so that we all do everything in the church. There's a statement in the Doctrine and Covenants that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, the Savior of the world. How blessed we are that we have a lay priesthood, as it's called, so that all of the brethren can hold the priesthood, all of the sisters are eligible for callings in the church. All of us will be parents, therefore teaching is the center of all that we do.
What is the difference, as you mentioned, teaching in the home? What is the difference between teaching in the church and teaching in the home? Is there any great difference?
In the home, it's more intimate and better and easier and less formal. And parents are show me. parents also teach some other things that are kind of painful to kids when they ask why, and all you can say is because. Because you don't know why. You just know that it isn't the thing to do. And teach them obedience so that they'll know and understand. So, and at home, there's that powerful bond of love between parent and child that you won't let go until you get it taught.
President, how do you get the spirit in the classroom from the teacher to the students in such a way that it will be a meaningful experience to them?
First, you have to know, they have to know that you love them, that you want to teach them. And then you have to communicate on their level. We can float around above them, and even in the gospel, about subjects that they can't connect with. That isn't what the Lord did. The Lord walked with them and talked with them and in everyday life, and his teachings were on that level, always. If you have something to teach, they really want to learn. Teenagers especially, want to learn. They have a thirst for it. A lot of teachers think they have to be prepared to the every sentence. Yes and no, if that preparation includes having it loose enough to involve them, to having them ask them questions and bringing them into it. But you have to leave a little room for inspiration. So we have a memory prompter in the Holy Ghost. If we have a challenge of something to teach and we think about who we are and what we do, there's always some little experience we've had or some place we've been or something we've seen that we can bring into the lesson. And the scriptures are part of all of that. They're not. It isn't just a book you read now and again or to figure out the rules and regulations of the church. Quite a bit of teaching that's done in the church is done so rigidly. It's lecture. We don't respond to lectures too well in classrooms. We do in sacrament meeting and in conferences, if you'd call the preachments a lecture. But it can be two-way so that you can ask questions. If you can sponsor questions easily in a class, you suppose you were teaching the martyrdom of the prophet Joseph Smith. Here you are, a church history teacher, and you've studied it all, and you know that it's on June the 27th in 1844 at 5 p.m. in the Carthage jail when the prophet was shot. If you ask him what time of day and where and so on, the prophet shot, none of them will know. You didn't know before you read the manual. But you can say, what brought him to that? What do you think brought him to that? The minute you say what you think, they have something to say. They can contribute. Even the students that are the most backward will have something to say. So there's a way to handle questions and to monitor and manage the class. Respond to questions. Feel free to ask questions in a class. You can't give away something you haven't got any more than you can come back from someplace you haven't been. So you've got to have the spirit.